Beautiful song, and so much truth there. I was thinking, as he was singing that, I was thinking about his mama, Miss Burrell. What a great lady she was. I had the privilege to get to know her a little bit in our first years here at the church, and she's at home with the Lord today. But she sure had a desire for people, love them boys. And I was thinking as he sung that song, young and not all of us are, was a youngin' sometime or another. Thank God there's some mamas that saw the need of a child's soul. We live in a day that mamas are so busy with their self, their careers, this or that. You don't hear much about, Brother Rick, about mamas that go to the room and lock themselves in, agonizing over a child. But thank God there's still some mamas that care. And listen, you might have had one of those mamas, as Brother Dwayne made mention, that sort of rode you back a little bit to try to get you to come to church. Aren't you glad you had a mama that rode you back to try to get you to come to church? And mamas, it's not too late. Greatest thing you'll ever do is get your children around the things of God. And what a truth that is. Take your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Kings. Had some funny little things that I dug up this week about mamas. We'll save that for tonight. But just feel like we need to get right into the message this morning. 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in your pew. Encourage you to follow along with us this morning. Here in 1 Kings chapter 3, there's a great showing here of what God did for Solomon, how Solomon spoke, and God gave Solomon that great wisdom and all this. And verses 1 through about verse 15 this morning is that scenario. And then verse number 16 this morning is where we want to start this morning. And I've entitled the message this morning, The Tales of Two Mothers. The Tales of Two Mothers. And if, when we begin reading, most of you, if you've been in your Bible anytime, you'll recognize this story. But 1 Kings chapter 3, if you can this morning, we want to invite you to stand out of honor and reverence to the Word of God this morning as we read it. More than reading, I hope and pray that you'll take heed to the lesson that we're going to learn here this morning, I believe. And it's not just for mamas, I believe, but here we have a story. This Solomon has asked that he'd have wisdom, and God blesses him with that wisdom. And here a situation has come before Solomon. And verse 16 says this, Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And the woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one said, This is my son that liveth. And thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the liveth. Verse 24, And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Verse 26, Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this day. Lord, the opportunities, Lord, to be able to get up and move about today, Lord, to be able to come to this place to gather together as believers, Lord, this morning. Lord, I pray this morning, God, would you please speak to hearts. God, thank you for these mamas, Lord, to hear. I know there's several today, God, that mama's already gone on. And God, Lord, I know there's memories that flood their souls today, but there's many here this morning that mama's still alive. And as Brother Dwayne mentioned, God, there's a lot of division in homes these days. I pray this morning, God, that, Lord, if mamas are still with us today, God, they take time to call mama, to talk to mama today and just tell her how much they love her. God, thank you, Lord, for loving us. God, thank you for giving us a mama that loved us, Lord. And God, I pray this morning, God, that you'd speak to hearts today. God, help us to raise up some young women, God, that want to be godly mothers. God, help us as older moms today, God, Lord, just to want to die to ourselves and give ourselves unto thee, Lord, to serve you until you take us home. God, there might be somebody here today that's lost. God, would you please speak to that heart? And God, we're going to thank you. We're going to praise you for all you do this morning, God. For us, in the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. You be seated this morning. And again, I've entitled this morning, The Tale of Two Mothers. And it's a simple title because that's what we have here this morning. We have here in this story, and it's not just a story, it's not just something to read. Here, Solomon has been given the throne, and Solomon has been given wisdom of God. And here, right out of the gate, he's given a situation. And the story, as we've just read, let me refresh it back to our minds this morning. Here we have two women. Now, the Bible tells us a little bit about these two women. First of all, we see in these two women the kind of women they were. Not church women. Not women renowned of the city as far as known as good women. But the Bible tells us these two women both are harlots. So these women, their conditions are the same. And then we see a little bit more about this situation as this woman is telling the story. Here we have these two women. And as they tell the king of the situation, we find out that these two women live together. And we see that in this situation that these two women is stressed very highly here, that there was nobody there to witness what had taken place. These two women were by themselves in this home, nobody else around them. And as we see that one woman gives birth, and then 3 days later, the other woman gives birth. So both women have babies. That's what makes a mama. Here we have two mothers. And the story goes that one night that the one woman overlay her child, and that still happens today. Many children over a course of time, we hear stories of where a mama will lay a child in a bed and not on purpose, but accidentally, that child dies. I can't imagine. But this woman, as she realizes what has taken place, she has a desire for that baby. She's a mama. And she wants that baby. And now this baby's dead. And in her mind, it even happens today. We've heard stories before where a woman will kidnap another child because something's wrong. Her child has died and there's something inside of a mama to have that baby. So now this woman's baby has died and she knows the other woman's laying there with a baby that's alive. She gets up and takes her baby and carries the dead baby over there and lays it in the bed with the other woman, then takes the living baby and takes it back to her bed. The other woman wakes up sometime thereafter and she wakes up, and the Bible tells her she wakes up to feed the child. And as she grabs her baby to give suck to that child, she realizes that baby is dead. Now, this isn't the message this morning, but there's a part there that I don't know. I can't imagine. In my mind, things would have been drastically different after that. But the Bible says that it wasn't till morning. And I don't know what time she woke up to give this child suck. I don't know. But she lay there knowing her baby was dead. And I can't imagine her mind and her thought as she realized she had a dead baby. But then when daylight came and she began to look at that baby, she realized it came to her that wasn't her baby. And as she looked at the other woman that lived with her in the house alone, She saw that baby and realized, hey, that's my baby. And I can imagine the squabble that went on. And they go, and again, amazingly, here comes, again, not two officials, not two church ladies, but two harlots go before the king. And they go before the king, and the king listens to the story. And as the story is being portrayed out, the king is listening, and the woman tells of all what we just heard. And then the king, as we saw down here in the latter parts, sees through because of the wisdom of God and realizing the true mother of this child. And I want to say this morning, just because you have a child, that makes you a mother, but it doesn't make you a good mother. We have a tale of two mothers here. One whose child dies, one whose child lives but is taken away. But I want to give you just three things real quickly this morning that I see in this one mother. And hopefully this morning, moms, this will be a help to you. First of all, I see this morning that the mother that had the baby that died, that took the baby, then there was the other mother that had the living baby, that the other woman gave her the dead baby. At morning, she realized her child. And this morning, I think about what the qualities of what a good, godly mother ought to have. And the thing, first of all, that I see here this morning, mamas, is the recognition that a mama has with her child. Now, I've been around some people that's had twins before and triplets before, identical type babies. I couldn't tell you which one was which. But you know that mama has a sense about her. It amazes me. I'm going to use this a lot this morning probably because that's, you know, it's where I grew up. They're out there even now. I watched them this morning as I sat there waiting for time to come to church. We got pastures behind us and beside of us, and the pastures are full right now of all different kinds of baby calves. The majority of the calves in our pasture are all the same color. Most of them are Angus. They're black Angus calves. And I watched, and it's funny. It really is. People don't believe me, but me and my wife, we get a giggle out of it, and we've showed it to people. It's funny how cows act. They rotate nursery duty. It's amazing. You'll find a group of calves out somewhere in the pasture, and there'll be one cow that's watching those calves. The rest of the cows are out doing whatever cows are doing. And they rotate that thing. But it's amazing, if we had 30 of those black calves, that one mama will know which one of those calves is hers. I guarantee you. Why? Because there's something about a mama that identifies with that baby. There's a bond that's put in place there. Look, I'm 40, getting ready to be 47 years old. My mama, she introduces me, this is my baby. I'll always be her baby. Why? Because that's the bond. That's the identification that I have and my mother has with me. But this morning, that mama, as she looked at that dead baby, and then she saw the other one with that live baby, there was something inside of her that recognized, that's my child. And I'm saying this morning, mama, you need to get back and get your eyes off what the world says you ought to have. Get your eyes off popularity of yourself and put your eyes on the fact that if you're a mama, and guess what? Just because I'm 47 years old, that's still my mama. And she still has a desire and a concern for me. We don't, when they leave the house, it doesn't just cut the bond and cut that string. You worry about them and you pray for them and you try to make sure they're still going in the right direction. Why? Because that's what a good godly mama does. She recognizes, that's my child. And this morning, mama, you need, if you're a mama this morning, I don't care if it's a newborn or if it's a 50-year-old baby, you ought to put yourself in the fact, that's my child. Claim that child because God has given you. God is the one that gave you that life. God is the one that put that baby in your hands. First of all, that woman claims that child. Recognizes, that's mine. And this morning, mama, it's not up to our school systems. Hello? It's not up to the babysitter. It's not up to somebody else. It's not up to the grandparents. It's your responsibility to take care of that child. still right today. So I see, first of all, this mother had a bond, had a recognition of that child. The second thing I see here is that mama had a fight for that child. She just didn't say, okay, that's yours, I'll take the dead baby. No, she knew that that was her child and she wasn't going to just drop this thing. I'm sure there was a great conversation in that house. God doesn't tell us all that went on. But it escalated to the fact that those two women took a live baby and a dead baby before the king. That mama says, that's my baby, and she was willing to fight for that child. If you're not willing to fight for your child, you ain't much of a mama. I've been on the wrong end of a mama cow. My grandpa. I don't know what it was. Well, I do know what it was, but when calves began to calve in our pasture, he couldn't rest until he went out there and found out if it was a bull or a heifer. That calf would hit the ground, and he wanted to go up there and see what that calf was. And sometimes mama cow don't like that. Why? Me and Brother David in the church helped me go out west. I had my first encounter with a moose. But as we come off the mountain that day, I'd done seen mama moose. I seen daddy moose in the morning. But that afternoon, we saw mama moose and baby moose. Mama moose wasn't real happy that we were anywhere in the picture. And she let us know to back off. That was her baby. Don't even get close. I had a guy at our first church that was stationed in Alaska with the Army. He said that one of the first things they teach you when you go on post there at that base in Alaska is how to not get killed. Because people get killed every year in Alaska because they get between a mama moose and a baby moose. And mama moose says, I'll kill you. Boy, it'd be good if we had some mamas that would stand up for their children today like that. That would fight for their salvation, that would fight for their protection, that would fight for their souls. And today we've turned our backs and look at our country today. Pedophiles, homosexuality, transgender garbage. And we don't think that's affecting our children. Where are the mamas standing up? So this mama, I see first of all that she identified with that child. Mama, I hope this morning. You know, I don't know how our children will turn out. I know some of you this morning, you've got children that have not done what you'd like them to do. They've run off. They've done this. You might be here this morning. I don't know. You might be here this morning. You got a child this morning sitting somewhere in a jail. There's no mother that desires that. And I've heard the stories, and I hope I never get so hard-hearted. Now, Brother Rick, I'm sure you've heard. Preachers that have kids, other people that have kids that do something that breaks those preachers' hearts or mama's hearts. And I've heard men say that they can't come back. I'm glad God don't treat me that way. But I can't imagine a mama that would hate a child. Something they gave birth to, something they held, something they fed. That no matter where in life, as I said, I'm still my mama's baby at 46, getting ready to be 47. And I'll be her baby until she dies. This morning, mama, your baby might not turn out the way you thought they ought to, or they might not always do what you wish they would do. They're still your baby. There's still a connection there that you can have an influence in that child's life. So I see this morning that there was a connection there, a bond. I see there was a fight in that mom. That's my child. You can't have my child. But then last of all, this morning that trumps it all, I see a love that only a mama can have. Did you hear what happened? Again, let's play the story out. Here's two women, one holding a dead child, one holding a living child. Here's King Solomon standing there, and as the story is told, that This woman's child died. She switched it with my child. That's my child. No, that's my child. And here they are fighting back and forth. That's mine. No, that's mine. No, that's mine. And this is what the king says in wisdom. He says, go get me a sword. They go get him a sword. He says, take the sword and take the living child and split it in half and give one to one and one to the other. And instantly, the Bible tells us something very great about that mother. You see that about her heart? You see how her heart yearned inside of her for that living child. And there was a love in that mama that at that moment that she was willing to forsake that bond. She was willing to forsake that fight. She was willing to forsake everything she could that that child would live. That's what makes a godly mama. The greatest thing this morning, mama, young ladies that will be mamas one day, is our children would live. What do you mean, preacher? They're alive now. No, I'm talking about living for God, living eternal life with God. She was willing to give up everything that that child could live. Mama, how much you be willing to give up today for that child? Would you be willing to turn off the TV a little bit? Get off that computer? Put down the cell phone? Life's ticking by. These kids are growing up, and they're going to go somewhere in eternity. I think it was Lester Roloff that told this story. I don't remember. One of the preachers of old. Said a woman came up after he preached, and I don't think it was Roloff. I can't remember who it was now, but preacher was standing after he preached. Woman coming up and says, I've had a baby. What do you recommend? And preacher looked at her and says, well, how old's the baby? And I don't remember how the story really went, but maybe 3 weeks old. And he says, you better run home. You're 3 weeks behind. It starts from the conception till they die. Constantly, constantly, constantly putting something towards that child that they could live. That's what makes a godly mother this morning. Well, preacher, I got to have a career. Is your career? And I'm not saying you don't have to work. You know, did anybody see on the news last week? I remember, probably California. I don't remember what state it was. They're pushing now, you know, we have laws that now that when a woman has a baby that she gets maternity leave, and we have the FMLA thing where people can have Family Leave Act. Have you seen now where people are pushing that they have, and I don't remember what the acronym was, but if their pet is sick, they can have excused paid leave from work for their dog. And we shake our head. But I know people today that care more about Fluffy than they do about their son. I know people today that care more about that stinking cat or dog than they do their daughter. Something's wrong with that. That's unnatural affections. The natural affection for a mama is to love a child and do anything she can for that child to live. That's what I see here in the tales of these two mothers. Let me leave you one verse and I'm done this morning. There's a great verse. I invite you to turn there with me this morning. It's found over in Isaiah chapter 49. It's one of my favorite verses. Isaiah chapter 49 this morning, in verse number 15. Verse 15 says, a question, it says, can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? That's the question. Can a woman forget her own child, the one that was birthed out of her, the one that she held and fed? Can a woman do that? Well, God says, yes, they can. He says, yea, they may forget. And I will say this morning, that's a true fact. How do you know, preacher? Well, my grandmother was a foster parent. My grandmother took in hundreds of children over that period of time where mamas and daddies mistreated those childs that forgot those child. In Peru, as you that went with us to Peru saw, they have millions of children that are born and left on the streets. We saw children that were thrown in trash and that they would find them in the mornings when they go through to get the trash off the street. How can a mama do that? I don't know. There's something wrong with their heart. And you might have division this morning between a child and you. Here's what God says. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. This is what God says. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. Listen, this morning I thank God for mamas. Good mamas. I know some terrible mamas. I just run back through my mind. God, Lord, let something pass through my mind. Never forget it. I'm closing. I'm not done. Listen to me. I'm talking about bad mamas. Because they're bad. Look, again. Two harlots were mamas. That's what our story tells us. It doesn't take much to be a mama. I was probably 17, 18 years old in the fire department. We had a call one night, a wreck call. Me and my friend was the first ones there. On a dirt road. Got there and there was a car flipped upside down laying out in the middle of a cornfield. When we opened the doors, all we could hear was screaming of a woman, screaming. We get out and get over there and got the flashlights, figured out what was going on. And there sat a mom out in the middle of a cornfield screaming, God, why'd you let this happen? God! She was drunk as could be, and her little girl was laying in that car dead because she crashed that car. That ain't much of a mama, is it? She thought more of her lust and her flesh than she did that child. Oh, that's terrible. It's no more terrible than a woman sitting in a church pew that refuses to care about where their child's going to spend eternity. I think this would be actually worse. I'm saying this morning, we need to be a good mama. A good mama identifies. A good mama fights. A good mama loves. But here's what God says for all of us. He says, your mama might not have loved you. Your mama might not have identified with you. Your mama might not have fought for you. But this is what God says. He says, I identify with you. Why? Because he came to this old wicked world and robed that flesh and lived upon this earth. He identified with us. He fought for us. He died on Calvary's cross. And he loves you today because he'll save you. So don't blame mama. There's a God in heaven that loves you. Thank God for good mamas. Listen, mamas, now's not the time to quit. Our children, listen, grandma's the same. Our children are being faced with things today. I can't imagine what's next. If you wasn't here Wednesday night, I told you Wednesday night, I got a phone call from a preacher friend. His wife and his granddaughter went into the McDonald's in Rockwell Wednesday. This is Rockwell, North Carolina. His wife and his daughter goes into the bathroom to find a man in the bathroom. Mamas, you better love your children. You better be talking to your children. You need to have a relationship with those children. This world is dragging them, constantly trying to get them. The tale of two mamas. Let's stand together this morning.